welcome to the Faith Driven Investor Podcast. If you're a fund manager, investor, financial advisor, or business owner driven by your faith or want to be driven by your faith, then you're in the right place. This is a podcast brought to you by Faith Driven Investor. The best way to stay connected about new episodes and new content for Faith Driven Investors is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at faithdriveninvestor.org. This podcast doesn't exist without you, our community. Please send us any thoughts that you have about how this podcast and our site might better serve you or any questions you might have about being a faith-driven investor.
All opinions expressed on this podcast, including the team and guests, are solely their opinions. Host and guest may maintain positions in the companies and securities discussed. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as specific investment advice for any individual or organization.
And they say never heard from Christian investors or even in many cases just conservative investors about these issues. So thank you for sharing your voice. It's good to know that, you know, there is more than one perspective on these issues and they seriously take into consideration what we say. And too often I think we are, as Christians, are the ones just holding the boycott picket signs out front on the steps till we're blue in the face. And there may be a time and a place for that, but it doesn't really get into the boardroom. Whereas investors, we have this totally amazing opportunity in a winsome way to reach out, share voices directly to the decision makers and get heard. And by God's grace, influence some pretty inspiring transformation.
Hey, everybody. This is the Faith Driven Investor Podcast. And today our guest is Robert Netsley. Robert's the president and CEO of Inspire Investing. If you've been following the Faith Driven Investor website, this name, Robert Netsley, should sound pretty familiar to you, as we featured a lot of his content and Inspire Investing's content on our blog. But today, we're talking about the man behind the company, the man who many consider an advocate for biblically responsible investing in places where the conversation hasn't even begun or normally been found. The way that Inspire has an impact as an active shareholder is encouraging and led to some incredible, incredible stories. Today, we're going to hear some of those stories, and we're going to hear from Robert himself. In addition to hearing his story, he's going to share just what it looks like to invest with biblical principles in mind. Let's join Robert now.
Robert, it's awesome to have you on the show. It was so cool to have you at the conference back in Deer Valley, and you were able to tell the story about what God is doing through your company. That's super encouraging, and we want to talk about that. And as so many of our podcasts have gone, we get right into hearing about somebody's story. And you've got a great one. And it's not one that somebody would have said maybe 15 years ago, that's the guy that's going to set up the largest exchange-traded fund business in this world of faith-driven investing. It's something altogether different. It sometimes felt maybe even unlikely, but here you are and you've got a great story and I'd really like for you to share it with our listeners.
Yeah, my pleasure. No, thanks for having me. And I love sharing the story because it's not anything that was part of my, you know, 10-year life plan. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that can say that. But, you know, my background was at Wells Fargo Private Client Service down in Carmel, California. And
but before that, go back before that, because I'm searching for something here that may or may not have something to do with fourth grade.
Okay. Yeah. Well, my real life plan was to be a fourth grade teacher. You got it. Yeah, I went to school to be an elementary school teacher and, you know, wound up in sales and then business and roundabout. Found myself as a sales manager at a Volkswagen dealership as an early married and starting to have kids. And right around that time, that dealership got bought by a new owner, you know, about 2 seconds before 2008 happened. And that owner promptly went out of business. And so, of course, we're all left without a job. So here I was, you know, expecting our second child at the time and head totally thrown for a loop. No idea what's going on. Like, wow, kind of freaked out here, Lord. But then had this kind of feeling of peace, you know, as I just prayed through it. And the Lord's saying, you know, this is your opportunity to find something different that has a better family schedule and all that kind of thing. So anyway, long story short, I applied to every single bank job I could find on monster.com because, you know, I figured bankers had good hours.
Bankers hours. Yeah,
you got it. And that's, I didn't really know what it was like working in finance, and math and numbers were my worst subject in school. But I applied for all these jobs and ended up with this position at Wells Fargo in the private client service department down, as I mentioned, Carmel, only to find out later that it was really only by, you know, the Lord intervening that I got that job, because It was not an entry-level position, had no experience in the industry. It was kind of strange that I ended up there, but that's how I got into the financial industry anyway, totally by no planning of my own and, you know, a whole lot of guidance by the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. So take us through this experience. And some of the folks listening to this won't know what Carmel is. Carmel is maybe the prettiest town in America, but we're biased because we live near it. But was Clint Eastwood the mayor when you were working in the bank?
He was just on the way out, I believe. But of course, you know, he's around and it's a, you know, one of the wealthiest communities in the nation down there on the coast of Highway 1 here in California, and had a nice drive down the coast every day, you know, second floor office overlooking the beach, you know, $1 million minimums. Life was just fine. And I was not looking for anything different. Thought I'd spend my career there. And then one day I just stumbled across totally by accident this whole concept of biblically responsible investing. Found some article online when I was really looking for a Bible study. But this article and information I found was really about this concept of BRI, where you're looking at not only the financial aspect of a portfolio, but the moral aspect of the portfolio. You know, what these companies that you're investing in, what are they doing to actually turn a profit? And, you know, I had heard of environmentally focused investing and kind of the whole socially responsible deal, but that always just kind of spoke to more progressive liberal values, which were not necessarily my values as a believer. And I had never thought of it from a biblical perspective. So anyway, I got curious and started looking at my own portfolios, portfolios of my clients. And man, God totally changed my heart, because here I was, for instance, the president of our local pro-life pregnancy center at the time. And I also own three stocks of companies that are manufacturing abortion drugs. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just gripped my heart on this issue immediately, because I realized what this means is that every time that young lady goes to the Planned Parenthood across the street and has an abortion, I just made money on that transaction with God's money, no less. And I'm recommending all my clients to do the exact same thing. And it was just like a two before upside the head, like, wow, how have I not thought about this before? How have nobody I know has thought about this before? What's going on here? And then, of course, there's pornography in the portfolio and human rights issues and like all these other things. And within about 2 weeks, I was dead in the water, couldn't do my job at Wells Fargo, and had to figure out something else to do.
And you're dead in the water because you came to understand that this is happening.
It is happening. Yeah. I mean, I just could not with a good conscience recommend a client invest in a company that was just diametrically opposed to, you know, God's values. I mean, this is God's money and it needs to be invested according to God's values for his glory. And so personally, where I was coming down as an advisor with my conviction that the Holy Spirit put on my heart was, you know, how much money is okay for me to make from an investment in, you know, the sale of abortion drugs or the sale of pornography? And the answer was a zero. And yet I did not have a way to do that where I was working. I didn't know what I was going to do. Never met anybody doing this before. I didn't know if it's even possible to do anything in a different way. And so I just went home, told my wife, hey, honey, here's what I found. I think the Lord's calling us somewhere else. And she's like, okay, we got two babies and a mortgage. So what's the plan? Mm. And, you know, there was no plan. I'm like, okay, well, the plan is to pray, honey, because I have no idea what to do. We just prayed, and it was just this close to going to seminary and being some sort of vocational pastor. Again, I didn't know if it was even possible to stay in the investment industry and invest differently. The only other option I could think of was, well, I suppose maybe I can just go independent, leave the bank, start an independent firm that only did biblically responsible investing. But you know, that's crazy because I don't have any experience, network, or money, or anything else you have to have, quote unquote, to start something like that. And, you know, as the Lord does, he made it abundantly clear, of course, that's the direction he was leading, and just an unmistakable compulsion from the Lord. So within about 2 months, I made the incredibly frightening decision to leave the bank, walked away from the book of business, clients that I've been serving there, left them with the team I had been with previously, and just really me and a laptop, starting over from scratch, less than 2 months of savings in the bank, totally freaked out of my mind, no idea what I was doing, fully prepared never to pay my mortgage ever again in my life, honestly. But I just knew that this was what God was calling me to do. I'm like, okay, Lord, here we go. And maybe you just want me to go do this thing for 6 months, run out of money, move into the parents, and then go to seminary. I don't know. Whatever your plan is, God, I'm in. I just have to be obedient right now. And so that's what we did. And I just started educating people about what I found. You know, here's biblically responsible investing. Here's what I'm doing. Really not even talking about their investments. But right away, you know, the folks that I was talking to had the same exact reaction. Their eyes got big and they're like, wow, I have never thought about that before. How do I find out what's in my portfolio? How do I invest differently? What does it look like? Is it even possible? And this business just started growing so fast. The Lord just blessed it where, you know, in a couple of months I had to bring on another advisor into the practice, which again was never part of my plan.
So tell us though, as you're building this business, what is the business? Is it a fee-based financial planning? And are you doing some stock screening? Just what is it with your first account, first customer, as you're talking about this, what are you doing?
Yeah, I was a financial advisor, independent financial advisor working out there, hanging my shingle on the door in downtown Hollister, serving retail clients with their IRAs and 401ks and giving investment advice with mutual funds and managed money and just the normal kind of gig, but all done from a biblical perspective. And again, my grand vision, 5 years down the road, if I was really successful, I thought maybe I'll have an assistant. You know, that was my big plan for my life. And God had different plans. So I bring this other advisor in the business and then had to bring another one in the business and then another one and, you know, led to 10 to 20. And just God blew the doors off of this thing. So with this network of Christian financial advisors working across the country under the brand of Christian Wealth Management, all dedicated to the biblically responsible investing movement, we're just seeing exponential growth. We grow it one client at a time, totally organically, to over $1 million in revenue in just a couple years, which is, you know, kind of unheard of and surprising to us. And through all that, we also ended up mentoring hundreds of financial advisors across the country how to implement biblically responsible investing practices and portfolios in their business, in their local practice, wherever they were at. You know, and that's where we got into this whole asset management business. And what people know us now is because there's this huge need. We kept hearing from these advisors, hey, I'm a Vanguard guy or a DFA guy. I invest in index space, kind of low cost funds for my clients. That's how I've built my practice over the past couple decades. The Lord is working on my heart and I just have this conviction. I have to do biblically responsible investing. So what is there for me and my clients where it's a low cost index based way to invest that's also biblically responsible?
Hey, Robert,
the answer was nothing.
Sorry to jump in because I'm interested in that. And I also want to, well, one, your story of going without knowing, you know, just reminds me of Hebrews 11 and kind of having faith and going out. And so that's just awesome to hear. And as you move into there, I know you wrote a book about biblically responsible investing. I don't want to jump over that. Maybe just give us a flyover. What does that mean to you? My guess is some of our listeners, that's going to mean different things to different people. What does that mean to you? And what do you think it means as you've built out this practice of wealth managers and kind of how are you attacking that term and that space?
Yeah, good question. So biblically responsible investing really is a faith-based approach. You know, the broader idea of environmental, social, and corporate governance, you know, responsibility in your investment decisions. And ultimately, it's looking to glorify God with the decisions that you make with your investments. And practically speaking, for us, that means that we're investing in the most inspiring, biblically aligned companies in the world. They're doing great things like working on cures to cancer and, you know, providing clean water solutions and operating with integrity through their supply chains and really just a biblically aligned company, not a Christian company, right? We're not looking for quote unquote Christian businesses, but companies that align with God's heart for his world and his creation. And that includes excluding, you know, the bad actors out there, those that are selling abortion drugs or pornography or violating human rights and, you know, all of those sorts of things that are out there. So it's a two-pronged approach where we, you know, exclude the bad, but then we proactively seek out those most positive biblically aligned companies and then build portfolios from there. And that's, in a nutshell, that's really what biblically responsible investing is about. And it's exciting because there's this movement going on. You mentioned the book, and that's what the book's about. Really, it's about the movement. It's not a analytical, you know, at all scientific investment type analysis book. It's really about the movement across the globe of investors that have woken up to this fact, just like I did. And the Holy Spirit just, you know, changed my life one day and opened my eyes to this whole idea that, hey, I'm investing God's money in stuff that breaks God's heart. That shouldn't be the case. And we have gotten, man, such amazing stories from all over the world, investors in places like Zambia, you know, just random places thanking us for providing them a way to invest for the glory of God. And so that's what the book is about.
Oh, that's amazing to do that. And I want to shift gears a little bit, because I've heard you talk about this before, and I just think it's a fascinating example of how this practically plays out. So I think you did a great job of talking about how I love the idea of, you know, common grace, and we're just trying to find companies that align with the Bible, not necessarily quote-unquote Christian companies. But taking that a step further, I know I've heard you talk about what comes along with that is companies are complex. Companies are lots of different people, you know, doing different things, lots of sinful people doing different things. And, you know, you could screen out on all kinds of things. I love hearing you talk about an active shareholder. So there's certain companies I know you invest in that maybe some part of their business you would say is not aligned with the biblical mandate, and you actually still feel that that's your calling to have investors in that company, but also fight to change the things that are not aligned with the Bible. And I think that's a great example of leaning into culture. You know, so much of our culture today, unfortunately, is known for what we're against and not what we're for. And I think you're doing that in a really unique way as an active shareholder. Could you talk a little bit about how that works itself out in practicality?
Sure. Yeah. So here at Inspire Investing, you know, we have this multifaceted approach to this biblical investing practice, right? And it includes endorsing those positive companies, excluding those negative companies. But then there's this third aspect of engagement. And like you mentioned, you know, we'll build our portfolios with companies that meet our criteria and align with biblical principles and doing good things in the world. But then every once in a while, as happens on a regular basis, some of these companies might get off the rails, so to speak, right? Or get involved in something that will be problematic or troublesome, you know, our investment policy statement, our investors. And then so instead of just selling that company out of the portfolio and kicking them to the curb and just moving on, which, you know, they may not even know we ever owned their company or even knew if they did why we sold, we reach out to those companies and we engage for a positive change to really do what we call inspire transformation. And by God's grace, he's given us some really phenomenal stories, success stories that we have no business being able to tell with, you know, a relatively small size and young track record of major corporations changing policies because of the voice of Christian investors that we're able to share. So it's been pretty encouraging.
Can you give us some examples of that?
Yeah. Let's see. One of the first, going back a few years, was actually with ExxonMobil. At the time, they were the largest publicly traded company. It's a good example because here's this massive company. And especially a few years ago, I mean, we're a blip on the radar now at a little over $500 million in assets. But we were like a blip on the blip on the blip, you know, a few years back. And so we owned Exxon in our portfolio. And then in our normal reviews, we saw that they had given some money to this organization called Population Services International, PSI. And the problem is this organization, what they do is they partner with third world governments to distribute at-home abortion kits for the purpose of population control. So it's like all kinds of bad from all different angles, you know, of that equation. So that's a problem for us, right? Yeah. That violates our screen, and that's a problem. So we reached out to Exxon, emailed into their investor relations department and left them a voicemail saying, hey, we're investors. We'd love to discuss something and have some questions. And they called back and emailed back more specifically. And we were able to enter this dialogue with them and let them know our concern. They saw that this donation happened and why that's a problem for us and our investors. They responded saying, well, they thanked us for reaching out. And they said they look into the matter. And they followed up and said they had some information from this nonprofit, and, you know, they told us not to worry. You know, they promised us the money is going towards mosquito nets to prevent malaria, which would be an, you know, an admirable use of the funds. The problem is it's a total lie. And we were able to share with them information about this same company a few years earlier that had taken a lot of money, I mean, millions of dollars from the Catholic Church in donations under the same guise of, you know, mosquito nets for malaria, only to find out, you know, lo and behold, they actually are buying abortion kits. And, you know, you can imagine the firestorm throughout the Catholic Church over that. So we shared that information with them and they're like, wow, that's good information. Thank you for sharing that with us. They came back and let us know they would never give money to that organization again. They have no desire to support, you know, abortion as an issue. And we kept them in the portfolio. I have followed up with them over the years and they've been true to their word. So it's an amazing success story, right? And
that is an amazing success story.
Yeah. And one more that's, you know, just really neat is along those same lines, Chevron, just again, in the same industry, a little more recent, they've been giving money to Planned Parenthood. And we took a more formal approach with this, and one of our colleagues filed an actual shareholder resolution and was able to speak at their annual shareholder meeting and present the case about how our investors, you know, have a problem with these Planned Parenthood donations, and resulted in he and I were on a trip in Boston together, business trip, and he got an email, this was a couple months after the meeting, from the executives at Chevron thanking us for our conversation and bringing the issue to light and saying they would not give money to Planned Parenthood anymore, and they haven't. And, you know, a consistent theme through all these companies, and there's so many others, has been when we reach out as an investor to the investor relations department, there's such a receptiveness to hearing from us that I think most people would find surprising, and certainly we did at first. And I think what we expect from corporations is, you know, they're not going to care about Christian voice. And certainly some of them don't. But most actually thank us for speaking up and have told us numerous times, you know, we hear from the left all the time, those other groups advocating for those other things all the time. But we have never, and they say never, heard from Christian investors, or even in many cases, just conservative investors about these issues. So thank you for sharing your voice. It's good to know that, you know, there is more than one perspective on these issues, and they seriously take into consideration what we say. And too often, I think we are, as Christians, are the ones just holding the boycott picket signs out front on the steps till we're blue in the face. And there may be a time and a place for that, but it doesn't really get into the boardroom. Whereas investors, we have this totally amazing opportunity in a winsome way to reach out, share voices directly to the decision makers and get heard, and by God's grace, influence some pretty inspiring transformation.
So I think that a lot of people can identify with the story about, you don't necessarily have to have this ambition of being this Wall Street superhero to go ahead and make a difference in what's going on in investing. But more important, more applicable is, you're the first guest now. Part of it's because we're kind of early in the rotation, but yours is the one that I want people to say, what is in my investment portfolio? And that's such a key question. It's such a key formative question. And I think that a lot of people are going to be thinking like, I have no idea what's in my portfolio. And that's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I know. It is amazing to me.
And it's one of those things that when somebody asks you that question, when somebody introduces that you might even ask that question, you can never look at your investment statement the same way again.
Right. Regardless of what you do with it or don't do with it or what you believe or not believe, you know, have you even thought about it? You know, let's just start with that and, you know, have a conversation. But yeah, people, you know, I mean, here I am, financial wealth manager, you know, and like never even crossed my mind, just ticker symbols on a page. But
what do these people actually do? How do they turn up their business beyond what might be obvious? So J&J, so I don't know, they make baby shampoo and they make some other things that I buy for my family. Well, do they make other things? And then the next logical question is, which is, are there different charities in a world of corporate social responsibility? Are there other causes that they look to support and advance? And am I unwittingly participating in that as I vote for them? Every stock share I buy ultimately turns into a vote. Am I voting for the way they'd like to see the world? Or am I voting for the way that I'd like to see the world based on how I feel God's speaking to me? So that's really interesting. It gets this concept of engagement and also helping Christ followers through their investment dollars to be known for what we are for rather than just what we are against. And I want you to just get to that last part a little bit more. You talked a little bit about the positive companies, what companies might do to invest in human flourishing. So not just a negative screen, no investment in a company that would invest in gambling or pornography or things like that. But tell us a little bit more about what you look for in companies that might have a positive screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a number of criterion that are all, you know, you can look up on our website, inspireinvesting.com, but really looking for best-in-class players across environment, social issues, corporate governance issues. Basically, are these companies a blessing to their workforce, to the world in general, to their communities, to their clients, you know, customers? Are they creating products that improve and add value to people's life? Or are they creating products that extract value from communities? You know, things of that nature. And there's very concrete ways that we look and measure those through our Inspire Impact Score. One good example is a company called Xylem. It's a water infrastructure company here in the States. And, you know, they do a lot of boring stuff like make water pumps and, you know, pipes and systems and things like that. But it's a company that's been really intentional about serving a population of people in the world that often would go unserved. And these are poor farmers and other people in rural countries, you know, in Africa and, you know, India and places of that nature, providing really innovative solutions for like irrigating their just family crops, you know, with they have a foot pump that doesn't require any electricity, a foot pump irrigation system that allows farmers to irrigate places that otherwise they couldn't get water to, and other things that really can help clean water and just improve the lives of people. And this is, again, it's not a Christian company, but these are really biblically aligned initiatives that this company is involved with. Yep. And those are the kind of companies we're looking for that are just aligned with God's heart for his creation.
So when you put together these investment vehicles, and let me make sure that I've got the vernacular down right, you've got exchange-traded funds, ETFs, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that's what we're most known for. And we've got, you know, a variety of other...
And you've got some separately managed accounts and things like that.
Yeah, separately managed accounts. And right. So ETFs for sure is what people know us for.
So you're putting in a positive screen, finding companies that are about human flourishing, and you're investing in those. You're not investing in those that are contrary to that. We talked about some of those examples. But how do you do in terms of investment results?
Yeah, that was one of the big question marks in our mind. You know, when we started the company, we built the company based on, you know, what if we just built these low-cost index-based portfolios and investment products that were simply built based on how biblically aligned these companies were, not looking at financials, not looking at performance, not adding, you know, any kind of active management or anything like that. Just, you know, where are the top 100, 200, 300, 400, whatever universe of most biblically aligned companies, build a portfolio, equally weight them, and what would happen? That was the big kind of experiment. And by God's grace, these companies have been outperforming on a consistent basis. And, you know, we've got real money in our current strategies since 2015, and our ETFs are live since 2017. And with really phenomenal results, you know, beating out secular benchmarks, you know, not every day, and, you know, there's no guarantee of results, obviously, but on a consistent basis over these time frames, we're seeing definite buoyancy on the returns. We're also seeing reduced volatility in the portfolios. And as we've looked into that, just from an academic standpoint, we're finding a lot of the same things that Wharton School of Business and Oxford and like McKinsey and others who are researching this whole responsible investing ESG space, they're finding that these more responsible companies, to use their vernacular, in our terms, more biblically aligned companies operating with good principles and doing good things, tend to have better risk return profiles because of a variety of instances. But, you know, for instance, they're not cooking their books, and so you avoid Enron and WorldCom. You know, they're not extracting value from communities with underpaid or in some cases slave labor, which later comes back to bite them, or they're not strip mining, you know, in Brazil, which then results in environmental fines. So there's real risks with companies that have low scores and real benefits that show up on the statement in your actual net worth on your investment statement that are directly tied to these really faith-based, biblically aligned values that we're seeking out in these companies.
So it's a great story, and it's amazing as this inspires come together, and as you've gone out there and proven that you can put together a diversified group of companies that are based on biblical values that can indeed outperform their secular counterparts. And we all know that it's very, very difficult to beat the index. Most people don't. It's great to know that you can do it and do it in a way that is consistent with your faith motivation. One of the things we like to do whenever we close out a podcast is to have a bit of a personal question with the person that we're interviewing. And just to get a sense about what you're hearing from God in your time in his word, what do you hear from him and how you're applying it to your life? And it doesn't need to have anything to do necessarily with faith-driven investing, but maybe in your personal life. And if it does translate into your work, then that's great too. But what are you hearing from God?
Yeah, man, as much as possible, as often as possible. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:31 is something that the Lord puts on my heart really every morning when I get up, whether I'm going to work or I'm at home with the family or whatever. And so whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And I believe that with all my heart, like everything we do, literally everything we do needs to be done, must be done, commanded to be done with biblical kingdom impact, God's glory at the center of our intentions and more than our intentions, our actions that derive from that. And powered by God's grace, powered by the Holy Spirit, But, you know, personally in my life, it's so easy just to go through my day and not really be intentional about glorifying God in really everything I'm doing. And so I'm just leaning on him to help me be more aware of those things. Because, you know, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, if I could eat my oatmeal for breakfast this morning to the glory of God, certainly I should be able to and really must, you know, manage his assets, you know, invest his money according to his values for his glory, for our joy, and really just thinking through what that really means, you know. And then in every area of life, you know, how I raise my kids, how I treat my wife, how do I drive my car down the highway, you know, is it conformed to the pattern of this world, or have I really been transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I can test and approve what the will of God is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will? So really that's what is our heart here at our company and personally, and man, I need the Lord's grace to help me with that, but so thankful that his grace has no bottom and no end.
You and I both. Amen. Robert, thank you very, very much for your time. Thank you for the work that you're doing. May God bless it. And I'm grateful for the time that you spent talking to our audience about biblically responsible investing, sharing your story, and then to encourage them about what it looks like to be engaged. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. My pleasure. And thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. We're very, very grateful for the opportunity to serve the larger faith-driven investor community. Hey, the best way for you to stay connected is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at faithdriveninvestor.org. And while you're there, we of course want to hear from you. We derive great joy from interacting with many of you, and it's been very rewarding to see people join the discussion now from all around the world. But it's also very important to us that you feel like this is your show, and that you'll help make it something that best equips you on your journey, one that you're proud of, and one that you'll share with others. This podcast, it wouldn't be possible without the help from many of our friends. Executive producer, Justin Foreman. Program director, Johnny Wills. Music by Carl Kegwell. You can see and hear more of his work at summerdregs.com. And audio and editing by Richard Barley of Cornerstone Church in San Francisco.